Thank you for tuning in to The Memoirs of Her. My name is Miss Mendes, and I am the host on The Memoirs of Her podcast. Tonight's topic of discussion will be based on the difference between settling down and exclusivity. I've come to this epiphany that relationships and dating are just a prequest to sharing a common interest, goals, and a series of activities that's fresh and inspiring for two people as they unfold and unwind into a mutual feeling and expression shared towards one another. It is oftentimes described as love or infatuation. Take it to believe it or not, I've realized settling down takes a level of maturity and mutual agreement between two people who decide on a role and responsibility within one partnership or more and household. However, exclusivity in relationship between two people is about each person transitioning from either a friendship into a committed and common agreement relationship. It's about two people taking the time out to actively engage each other beyond just a common interest or activity, but are initiating a claim or declaration of either their love or ability to maintain and upkeep a relationship through daily activities, active communication, and companionship. It is like validating a person worthy to be loved, trusted, and depended on when in an exclusive relationship. In my opinion, an exclusive relationship isn't so much about roles and responsibilities. It is about a classification and each person maintaining their own identity and independence, but in such a way the two people learn to be interdependent and together as one man and woman, sharing a lifetime and bond with one another. Now, on the contrary, settling down can often be labeled as a situationship, whereas the two people together may not share an active and romantic interest in one another, but they may manage a home and bills together to perhaps accommodate living arrangements, to take care and raise children together, or to increase annual income by moving to another tax bracket when shared incomes are combined. Nevertheless, I believe I'm transitioning into an exclusive relationship and would like to share what that means to me and how it has an impact on me as the host. So you may want to stay tuned and listen in on my personal experience. Now, once again, tonight's topic is the difference between settling down and exclusivity. Okay, now I just want to highlight that the generalization of this whole entire show is to get to the moral of the story, which is love touch. Okay, sometimes when two people find each other with both a broken foundation and they build together as a team to make a foundation that is indestructible. So that doesn't mean that two people come together to trauma bonding. No, it's just that two people come together understanding that they've been hurt, you know, disappointed from a past that may, you know, be of a broken foundation, and they coming together to restore what has been broken and being able to learn from the past as well as being able to grow from, you know, their past and move along into the future with new beginnings. So this is how I look at it, in ways of how love can be not only just healing and just being able to teach us things, but to be able to bring two people together at a point where, you know, they can learn and grow together from their pain and turning their pain into power together to create a strong foundation, if that makes sense. So once again, as I keep emphasizing on tonight's topic, is the difference between settling down and exclusivity. Okay, so now with that being said, I am going to talk about the pros to settling down. Okay? And before I even move along into the show, I wanted to highlight the fact that when I mentioned about what it means for people to settle down and the initial context of, you know, how two people relate to each other and carry on in a relationship, or, you know, common relationship with the one another. I highlighted living arrangements, as sometimes people might come across the terminology LAT, and LAT stands for living apart together. So sometimes that can also happen, as far as maybe two exclusive people being in a relationship, or it could be two people in partnership but they live in two separate households. And that's a common thing that's happening in society, in which I noticed and realized as well. But I just wanted to highlight the terminology that sometimes you may come across, you know, LAT, and that's exactly what it means and emphasize on. Okay, so now, like I said, I'm going to talk about the pros and the cons of settling down. Okay, and I just wanted to also bring to the forefront that, according to Joe Hartley, from this article that I read that's called 5 Minutes of LAT, he stated that these days, relationships, living arrangements take on all forms, some of which are far from traditional. He stated that some couples wait until after marriage to live together, some live together and never get married, and some alternate living between their two houses, living between their two houses. In fact, this is a latter option is becoming so popular, as I mentioned, and that is even earned in its own acronyms, as I said before, LAT, living apart together. So that's just was to bring more emphasis on me highlighting this whole terminology in which people do commonly do in today's society, called LAT, living apart together, or some just share home together, a common relationship or common ground with each other. Okay, so some of the pros to settling down are that two people can share love between each other, and their lives can become enriched by their love and trust for one another, which makes it, you know, a easygoing and more secure, you know, factor, rather than just feeling like you're just going through an experience and period in your life, you know. And then settling down also has a sense of stability and security, as I did mention, and it's something that is established and something that's more of a forefront that the two people together provide for one another, you know. And a lot of times it may not have a romantic connotation behind it, but it's just two people that's basically supporting each other and being able to rely on each other to provide certain roles and responsibility in that partnership together. Okay, and then having the ability to accept what is not perfect and acknowledge the value and benefits of settling for a common and attainable goal. So, in other words, I know some people say, oh, don't settle, you know, go for your best, you deserve the best. Yeah, that may be true, but at the same time, when it comes down to stability, you know, you weigh the good and the bad, and, you know, the pros and the cons and the benefits and the non-benefits of, you know, just settling down. And sometimes, you know, the whole idea of settling down is learning how to compromise as a person, because there's so many people that's out here in the world where they are selfish and don't really get to a place where they are satisfied. There's always a sense of unsatisfaction because they put so much emphasis on expectations, their experiences, and what they deserve. Sometimes it could be a little bit unrealistic and unattainable because when it comes down to that true fulfillment, if a person keeps saying or feeling like they deserve better or there's something better that's out there, and you just keep having this idea that, oh, this ideal person is out here in the world, and you never learn to be able to compromise a day in your life of, you know, being able to establish a relationship and a foundation and understanding those qualities and things like that, then it's like you will always be alone in a single mindset. And that's just my opinion. My opinion, because to each its own, people might look at it differently. Okay? However, like I said, at least when you have two people who have decided to settle down, it is for a common goal. It's a common reason. And it's something that's attainable, something that can be established and is a mutual agreement between two people who understand that, okay, yes, we are settling because of this and we are settling because of that. But that does not mean that that this is the end, because we can also settle for a higher and next goal. Okay, together, maybe not apart. You know, so people put too much negative connotation on settling down, even though settling down may have its cons, and which I will mention later on. Okay, now, however, settling down also ends the cycle of wanting more, or to prevent the shining object syndrome. Like I said, some people, and especially the youth, sometimes it could be middle-aged people, older people who, you know, it doesn't matter who does this or have this effect, shining object syndrome, whereas they always feel like something is better out there in the world, something better than, you know, what they have and things of that sort. So when you learn to compromise and be able to settle down for distinctive reasoning, you know, you get rid of that cycle of feeling like you can do better, or you can go for your best and things of that sort. And you will realize that, okay, there is going to be a lot of people that may be better than you, or better than your girlfriend, better than your boyfriend. But at the end of the day, it's about you and that person's connection. It's not about you and everybody else and your selfish desires. It's about you and that person being able to learn each other and being able to grow and move along to the next stage in life. Of, you know, your whole, you know, purpose in life, okay? So those things matter, those things are important, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you do have that aspect of being able to settle down, at least you have some type of perspective of where you're going and how long, you know, you're gonna, you know, invest in a certain particular situation, as far as putting your best foot forward and being able to be good at what you're doing, as far as, you know, your role and responsibility in that partnership together, and being able to set attainable goals as you guys work together, whether it be individual goals or goals that you guys work together to obtain, you know, in a healthy and productive manner. Okay, but the shining object syndrome is, a lot of people feel like the grass is greener on the other side, and 9 times out of 10, it's really not. It's really not, and a lot of times, those people who always feel that way are never satisfied, and is always looking for something next, even when they have something that is good for them, you know, something that they need and not what they want. They still feel the need to want to go out for something, or feel like it's something better, and sometimes, you know, people that are in a settled relationship, sometimes those relationships are not real, meaning that sometimes people just get in a situation because they want to survive. They want to be able to have a house over their head or something like that, or, you know, they do certain things, and you realize that the whole relationship was just based off of a partnership, was based off of falsehood. Because that person, the minute they find someone better, they will leave you for that next person and still go into this cycle of feeling unsatisfied once things settle with that person, and then they want to go for the next big, great thing. So this type of person never, ever satisfied. Okay, especially if it's something that they need, or something that something that will be productive and healthy in their life, they don't want it because they want something that they can't have. Okay, that is someone who was battling with the shining object syndrome. Okay, so now, Let me see. I also say that the shining object syndrome is the perpetual search for more is a stressful thing and generally prevents the person from acknowledging what is good already in their life. So that's what makes it toxic and self-sabotaging when someone who battles with the shining object syndrome. Okay. Now, according to Nairo Feliciano from Psychology Today, he stated that bonds deepen, love strengthens, and couples can discover a new level of understanding and security in their partner. Okay? And refreshing the idea of settling. By learning to practice gratitude, ability to pause and reflect, and give. That's what settling also helps generally. Okay? And then I also read an article where it said the four ways to settle for more is 1 is practice gratitude, 2 pause and reflect, 3 to connect, and 4 is to give. And I'm going to elaborate more in detail of what that means according to Nairo Feliciano. They stated practicing gratitude. Gratitude focuses on our brain, on what is good already, activating appreciation circuits that release different mood, elevating in neurochemicals such as serotonin, oxytocin, and endorphins. Study shows that thinking of and writing down 3 positive things a day lead to less depression and anxiety, a better outlook on life, and even improved physical health outcomes. That's when you practice gratitude and understand when you put in a positive notation on settling. Okay, now pause and reflect. It allows you to take a moment to pause, take a few deep breaths, and pay attention to a pleasurable experience you are engaged in. You might call this being present in the moment. It might be hiking in the mountains on a brisk day, enjoying a cozy holiday, a gathering, or cheering at an exciting hockey game, or relaxing in front of a blazing fire. Notice the details and what is good. Sights, sounds, and smells. We often miss the beauty of the moment because our minds are fixated on the next thing we have to do. So when we pay attention, our brain remembers these pleasurable moments and can recall them in the future, releasing once again those happy neurochemicals, which still can lift our spirits even when the experience is long gone. Okay, so that's what pausing and reflecting is all about, is reflecting on the moment, you know, stopping yourself in time and not just going through emotion like your whole life is a movie, but being able to be present in the moment of what you're feeling and what you're doing and what you're going through. Those things are really important. And then 3 was to connect. It's that study showed that our level of life satisfaction is connected to the quality of our relationship. Rather than looking for a new relationship, perhaps we can invest in the ones we have. Make the time to connect with the people most important to you, and not only will it happen to alleviate stress and increase well-being, but moments like these also add up to fulfilling life. And you can schedule like a coffee, a quick lunch, a phone call, a walk with someone you care about. It might just be the best 30 minutes of your week when you take the time to connect with a loved one or friend. Okay, and then lastly, it said to give. As we approach this session of giving, it is interesting to note some of the greatest benefits of giving are actually experienced by the giver. And when we engage in the act of giving of our time, our resources to help another, we experience the full trifecta of neurochemicals related to happiness and reward, serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin. Okay, so yes, this is very, 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 very important, okay? Especially when it comes down to refreshing the idea on settling and the whole purpose behind it of what you can do and look at it from a different perspective. Okay. It's about by learning to practice gratitude, your ability to pause and reflect and give. Those simple things that come with settling will bring so much fulfillment into your life. And a lot of times people will get that sense of satisfaction, especially when you are in the moment or feeling of giving. Okay, so much people are so selfish and feel that they are entitled to so many things, but are they really deserving of it? Are they even capable of giving what they want and desire? You know, so those things are important at the end of the day. Okay, and then another pros of settling down is the ability to compromise and have compassion. Now, can a person who feels that, not knocking them, that they deserve the best and, oh, they deserve X, Y, Z and not to settle for anything less than their best. You know, do you even understand what compromise is? Do you even understand what compassion is? You know, coming out of yourself and stop being so self-absorbed. But do you understand that sometimes we got to come to a reality and ask ourselves these questions? Okay, you know, like, are we really worthy of the things that we feel entitled to? You know, so when you have the ability to compromise with someone and to have compassion, that is the beautiful most moment and feeling that you can actually be in, you know, and it is the epitome of being able to settle down, but mostly settle down with yourself and being realistic of what you can give and what you can receive, what you can give and what you can receive, what you receive and what you can give. Those things is a cycle, okay? It's a formation behind it. So when you're always receiving and not giving, what are you doing to actually allow that flow inside of you to be able to expand, to be able to grow, to be able to not have such a narrow mindset, but be, you know, have an open mindset to just coming out of yourself and being able to put yourself into other people's shoes and places and things like that in life. That is what compassion is all about, being able to relate to another person. How could you be so self-absorbed that you can't even relate to another person or be able to put yourself in another person's shoes? That's not a good outlook or outcome when dealing with someone and being able to relate to them. Okay, so I always say that people who feel that, you know, they have so much of these high standards and things of that sort and they deserve the best, they actually find themselves alone because they don't know how to really live with someone. They don't know really how to experience someone other than themselves and being able to establish a relationship because they have negative beliefs or negative connotation on being able to relate to another person. Okay? And that's just my aspect and my thoughts on that. Okay? Now, the cons to settling down, because yes, I'm going to talk about it, but this is not just the sum of the reasoning of why, you know, you shouldn't be able to settle down into a relationship or a union with someone who you care and love about. Okay, so don't look at this as a reason to prevent yourself from being in relationship, because that's not what that's all about. That's not what I'm making emphasis on. Okay, now, the cons to settling down, according to, and in reality, according to Nairo Feliciano from Psychology Today, most long-term healthy relationships change, have problems, and lose the intensity of initial attraction. Now, that this doesn't mean that the person have the shining object syndrome. It's just that some people get to a point where they grow apart from each other. They outgrow each other. They outgrow the relationship, you know, the partnership. And sometimes that spark is just not there anymore. Not to say that the initial contact was all about romance and, you know, love or whatever the case might be. But it's just that that person may want some emotional elevation and emotional maturity and intelligence, want to increase, but increase that level in being able to connect with another person on emotional healthy aspect. And sometimes they may not be able to achieve that or get that with someone else. And it's not so much about the person being emotional and things of that sort. It's more of a sentimental connection and action that the person will have and develop with the person, because there is a difference between sentiment and emotions. Sometimes a person do want emotional intelligence. They do want emotional maturity along with being able to have some form of sentiment with someone, that connection, that bond, that intimacy, you know, that is desirable and something that that person may want and may not be able to achieve that with you in particular. And like I said, has nothing to do with the shiny object syndrome. It's just that some people come to reality and they come to a stage in their life where they outgrow certain situations, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, according to Julianne Briones, she stated that cognitive biases such as a risk aversion and the sunk cost fallacy can lead people to settle for bad relationships. For example, you know, like I said, some people getting together because they need a place to stay, or they need some, they need to survive, or they're in a survival mode and they desperate to be with anyone or anything to, you know, prevent from either, you know, being homeless, or prevent from, you know, not having money and things of that sort. So they might use another person, whether it be through the form of manipulation or being able to mooch off someone. They may use those tactics to avoid, you know, not having a roof over their head or being taken care of, or things of that sort. You know, not to say that that's the best of things, but for example, another example is where some people may fear being alone, or heavy emphasis on the term of biological clock can skew one's priorities. Meaning, if a woman feels like, damn, I'm actually in my 30s now, just turned 30s, and I don't have any children and I'm not married, and they like, okay, my biological clock is ticking. When you put that connotation on your life, it kind of, you know, misconstrue what is the priority in your life, you know, especially when people feel like, you know, I you know, see women that feel like they so established, that they so, you know, heavenly good, that they know earthbound good, meaning that, okay, they may have achieved and been successful in life, but they don't have a man in their life. Why is that? You know, because of the connotation behind the fact of, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this. But what do you actually want? And what are you going to actually be happy with? Have you ever established your mood swings? Have you ever learned from self-healing, you know, knowing yourself, being self-aware? And it's the same thing how I'm talking about women in particular. This also applies for men as well, because men might think it's all about big ass and titties and, oh, how many girls they could bang, or how many girls look good and still have that shiny object syndrome, you know, as far as, oh, the next big thing or the next good thing or whatever the case might be. It is the same thing applies to the men as well. Have you grown emotionally? Have you grown to a point where, you know what, in spite of you liking these things, you know, at the end of the day, you made a list of what you need and what you want, and your needs outweigh your want, as far as you being realistic of, okay, yes, I want to be in a relationship. Yes, I do want to be engaged. Or yes, I do want to be married someday. It's nothing wrong with wanting that and being, you know, taking it in reality. Some people might feel like that, oh, they got it like that. They got a good paying job, or they got money and they got all of the things that they want, that they don't have to settle for anyone that they feel is beneath them. And that is so sad. Very, very, very sad, you know. But at the end of the day, people have these types of beliefs and connotations about relating to one another. Okay, so another aspect is having a biased perspective regarding loss aversion, meaning having a tendency to be more sensitive to losses rather than gains, okay? And what that looked like, for example, is, say, for example, losing $100 feels worse than gaining $100, which feels good. And some people will rather avoid, let's say, for example, a $5 surge charge than to gain a $5 discount. You understand? So basically, that's how relationships is with people. At the end of the day, they saying, oh, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get betrayed. I don't want to get, you know, this, and then I don't want to get that. But meanwhile, you meet somebody new who's not like the previous person. They totally different, but you feel because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want this to happen. You don't want that to happen. That at the end of the day, you forget about all of the good things that can actually happen in that relationship with someone and how you can progress and heal to the next level, if that makes sense. Okay, so now moving along to the last aspect of the con to settling down is when people avoiding the loss in a stale romantic relationship, choosing not to let go of a mediocre relationship for a more healthy and happy and balanced relationship with someone. So for example, if you know that you got together with someone and you guys were a couple and y'all may have had children together, some people might feel like they stuck and trapped with that person, but in reality, it's about your beliefs. It's about what you believe and how you manage your life. So if you feel that your life is a trap, you feel that, you're stuck, then that's the vibe that you're going to get off, which is going to put you in an unsatisfied situation. So if you know that, okay, all right, if you have to co-parenting should have nothing to do with your personal life and aspect of what you need to be doing to be productive and healthy for you. Some people might feel like, oh, I have a child, and I'm not saying that you're not supposed to pay attention or make your child a priority. Of course, your children are going to be a priority. But when it comes down to your mental health, being happy, being able to manage and being able to move a relationship to the next level is just as important. Because if you just have this certain type of belief that, oh, I've been hurt, I don't want to be in a relationship. Oh, it's about my child. But then you never have no time to really think about your well-being, your mental health, and how to be happy for your own self. When you don't have that fulfillment, your life is at a standstill. What can you possibly do? So at some point, you got to let go of the belief, you know, and live your life. Because some people just feel like, oh, once they have children, that their life is all over and ended. That's not true for everybody. It's not true for everybody, okay? Everybody has a different aspect and way of dealing and coping with things in their lives. And everybody is not the same, and that is true. I understand that. But at the end of the day, people's lives don't change because they have children and delayed. Maybe if you are in an impoverished state, you may have to work double as hard when you have children unexpectedly, you know, and it doesn't matter whether you rich or poor or middle class or whatever the case might be. When unexpected events happen, you still got to learn how to cope with it. But I am here to say that children do not stop and delay you from being able to achieve the things that you need to achieve in your life. And sometimes you got to do a reevaluate your whole life and being able to include them, yes, as a priority, but being able to shape and mold your life in a way where you're still obtaining and achieving your goals, but at the same time, you're still taking care of your children in the context that they need to, and being able to get rid of the negative connotation behind relationships in itself. Okay, so I talked about the pros and the cons of settling down, and of course, I'm going to talk about the pros and the cons of exclusivity, and I'm going to share my experience, you know, of, you know, how I have gone through this phase of exclusivity, you know, dating, and, you know, being able to get to know a person and things of that sort. I will share that towards the ending of the show. So please do not go and stay tuned and keep those ears wide open. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to take a break. Okay, and I am back. So, as I said, I am going to talk about the pros and the cons to exclusivity. And before I begin, I want to talk about exclusivity in itself. So what is exclusivity and what does it mean, right? So an exclusive relationship means that you and your partner are dating only each other. A serious relationship needs to be exclusive or monogamous. And in this relationship, you stop exploring other options or going on blind dates. Okay, so I wanted to highlight just a little bit of tangents, but if you go back into my archives and relationships where I said that, you know, I talked about how exclusivity is becoming a thing of the past because people don't really take the time out to actually get to know each other or get to a point to being in a healthy relationship where there is exclusivity. You know, a lot of times, you know, people broaden the aspect of having an exclusive relationship and being with someone to a generalization or general form of relationship as far as roles and responsibilities. But at the end of the day, are you really connected to this person, mind, body, and soul? And a lot of times people don't even know what the hell that is as far as being able to be connected to someone. Some people might say chemistry is having a connection, but connection is more than just chemistry, because chemistry is just like having a common interest with one another. But if you don't have a connection with that person, mind, body, and soul, you know, it's like, what is the point? You know, a lot of times people settle for situationships, and a lot of times people settle for roles and responsibilities. But at the end of the day, what about your fulfillment as a person when it comes down to being able to connect with someone mind, body, and soul, and not just agreeing with the person, agreeing to disagree with them, but really feeling that bond with that person, like a child that gives birth to a mother giving birth to a child. That is a beautiful bond. When she's able to push that baby out and hold that baby next to her breast, that's having a connection. That's not about chemistry. That is not about, oh, having a common interest, because that baby don't know nothing about having no commonality or chemistry with their mother. All they know is love, being in a mother's womb for 9 or 10 months and coming out and seeing a mother, making a connection to that voice and that face, and seeing a mom for the first time, and that mom seeing that baby and hearing that baby's cry for the first time. That is a connection and a bond. I can't make any more emphasis behind that. But where do men and women have connections similar to that? That does not happen in this day and time. I'm sorry, but I have to say that. But yes, it doesn't happen. And that's why I say that it's becoming a thing of the past, because people are settling for situationships. People are settling for, you know, their creature comfort, their comfort zones, and being able to be friends with benefits and not being able to establish and move to the next level, you know, not about self-awareness and self-improvement. People don't even think about those things when they feel that they got the frivolous things such as money, the materialism things, and they feel like they got their whole life together and can go through a series of girlfriends or a series of boyfriends and not have no consequences or, you know, any experiences, things like that. Like they feel like they can never be so, you know, earthly bound, meaning down to earth. You know, a lot of times that may not happen with people in particular. And it's like, what's the whole point in having a relationship or being in an exclusive relationship? Do anybody even know about dating? Do you even know about courting? Do you even know about committed relationships where two people that love each other form unions, not just relationships, but become and go into a marriage with each other? Those things take stages and it takes time. It takes patience. But a lot of people don't have that, because a lot of times people relate with their lower extremities, if you know what I mean. Okay, we're all adults here on the show. Okay, so now that I talked about exclusivity and what it means, you know, I'm highlighting the difference between exclusive versus being in a relationship. It may be confusing for some people. So before I even go through the list in particular, I'm going to also highlight the fact of this article that I read and how there's a difference between being in a relationship and exclusivity, because like I said, this is different phases. You go from dating to exclusive, and then you go into a committed relationship. So when you are exclusive with someone, you are not seeing other people. That's what that means. Okay, that does not mean that you're dating this person, but you're also dating XYZ on the side, or you also have another relationship with someone else on the other side. No, you are dating and you basically courting this person exclusive. You getting to know this person in particular. You're not trying to get to know Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Sarah, and Amber, and John, Janice, or whatever. You're not trying to know all of these other various other people. You're trying to get to know one person, okay? So this is not the same as being someone's boyfriend also, or girlfriend, or partner. So because you are dating, yes, people can date, but that does not mean that they're dating with their lower extremities. They dating to collect data on a person, get to know a person. And when they feel that they form that connection, not chemistry, with someone, sometimes they take it to a next level of going on another date. But that does not mean that that first date or that second date, that's your boyfriend or your girlfriend. No, you're still getting to know the person. So that's what that mean as far as exclusivity. Like, if you're going on a series of date with that person, you are courting them. But that does not mean that that person is your boyfriend. That does not mean that that person is your girlfriend. And that does not mean you are in a committed relationship when you are exclusive. It is when you like each other enough to stop exploring other avenues, but not there yet when it comes to your feelings. Meaning you have not been able to graduate to that level of saying, okay, I want to be in a relationship now. I feel like, yes, we can do it. It's just like a person who've been together for a very long time, 2 years or more, and they gotten to know each other, and then that man proposes to that woman, and now they are engaged because now it's official. It's went from exclusivity to official, meaning that this person wants to marry you. Not that you have the potential to be marriage material, that they will marry you in the future. No, that the fact that they making it very clear, a declaration of they love, that they want to be with you and you only. That they love you in spite of just going through the emotions or being moody and things of that sort. But they see the bigger picture of being together with you. Okay, so dating, exclusive relationships, and commitment are transitional phases. A serious relationship needs to be exclusive, but before that, you should know if your partner is ready for it. Because a lot of times, sometimes when people are together, sometimes they may have a past, and sometimes they may have been broken, betrayed, or hurt, and it may take time for that person to actually heal or be able to go through a series of self-love and being able to reestablish themselves and being able to operate in a relationship and a connection with someone. So sometimes that takes time, and some people, they don't heal the same. You know, and if you are a person dating someone who have a past and been hurt, you know, you might want to be patient with that person and understand that based off of your patience and being with that person, sometimes you could see the rewards of that person being able to heal and watch your relationship transition into something greater and better with that person. You understand? So when they say a serious relationship needs to be exclusive, but before that, you should know if your partner is ready for it. Yes. You don't force a person into a relationship. You don't force a person into a commitment. You don't force a person into being with you and things of that sort, or giving them an ultimatum. That's not a nice thing to do, but to each its own. Okay, if you're not satisfied or whatever, for whatever reason, you gotta go for what you want, right? So, when you are dating exclusively, it means you are somewhere in between seeing your partner casually and being in a full-fledged relationship. So that does not mean that, oh, you're friends with benefits, or that does not mean that, oh, you're just fuck buddies. It does not mean that, oh, it's just that, you're just doing that, you don't date. No, you're taking the time to date each other, getting to collect data, getting to know each other. those things are what's happening and taking place. Okay. So now it says it's like an internship before you get a full-time job. That's in a nutshell. That's what exclusivity is basically practically all about. So you are still testing the waters and would like to know them better before taking the plunge. And before you think about how long you should be exclusive before starting a relationship, it is vital to understand if your partner shows signs of being exclusive. So check out next. So you have to be able to evaluate the signs in a relationship, in exclusive relationships, and being able to see the, like, how I'm going to explain the pros and the cons of exclusivity. So let's get to it, right? So the pros to exclusivity is that, one, it has the potential to become a relationship with a label. Okay, so for example, if someone been dating and then that dating turns into courting, and now that person is engaged, that goes to show that those two people once engaged are fiancé. And once they go from being each other's fiancé, they go through the stage of marriage, and then that person then becomes your husband, or that person becomes your wife. Okay, that's what I mean as far as labeling. Okay, not your baby mama, not your baby papa, but this is your husband, this is your wife. That's the officiality in it all, okay? So now, another pro of exclusivity is it allows each person to be committed to a connection together without any labels, okay? And that's a good thing, because if a person is going through a healing phase, or they may have lost a loved one who they really loved and care about, and it's taking them time to heal from that loss, you know, however way that loss was, whether they broken up or the person passed away, you know, they still healing from that, okay? And at the end of the day, exclusivity is something where, you know, the two people could be able to, you know, graduate together at different levels, yes, but be able to still meet each other at a level ground. Okay, another pros to exclusivity is that there's increased intimacy, real intimacy, a real bond that you're having with someone. And it's a beautiful, 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 beautiful feeling. I have to say that it's a very beautiful feeling, especially when you extract or take away the emotion and you take away all of the moodiness and the self-entitlement, but you get to see that person and you get to know that person. It is so, 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 so beautiful, and it feels so good. And I'm saying this by experience, okay? Pros to exclusivity is a monogamous couple by choice, meaning they not having sex with multiple people and they not carrying on a polygamous or polyandry relationship. Not to say that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying that anything is wrong with it. But when we talk about monogamy, so many people put too much negative connotation and self-entitlement on monogamy and feel that, oh, it's not real and stuff like that. No, but what about when you do have a connection with someone and you don't want to think, you're not even thinking about having sex with someone else because you get that sexual satisfaction and fulfillment with that person? This is where monogamy does highlight and have some emphasis on being good, okay? And when these two people come together by choice in an exclusive relationship, it is a good feeling. It is a good feeling to have someone who you are connected with emotionally in a healthy aspect and mature way, and you being able to still share yourself with that person, not just sexually, but sensually. Also in a way where you both are getting to know each other on a sentimental level, okay? So sensual, sexual, and sentimental, those aspects of when you are with the person is all about monogamy. Okay, and that's good. And when you have to share that with multiple people, I'm sorry, but it is stressful. It is stressful when a man or a woman had to form multiple bonds with different and various people. That's what some people say. Oh, you can have many soulmates. Yes, you can. But what about that soul twin? What about that soul person who you are connected to, as far as where this is an undeniable connection that you have with that person? Like, you actually mirror each other, you know. But people don't talk about that, and that's another topic in itself. And then people like to talk about soulmates, you know, and having all of these soulmates. But at the end of the day, you learn from those various people who you cross paths that are your soulmates, and you still become a greater and better person. But what about the people that just wasting your time and wasting your energy and draining you? Those things are not fulfilling, okay? Especially when, you know, people are just doing, like, having casual sex or casual connections with people. Those things are not fulfilling. That goes to show that there's something missing in your life that you need to connect the dot to, and to be able to heal that aspect of yourself, okay? But like I said, nevertheless, to each its own, right? Okay, so now, another pros to exclusivity is that relationships progress in a productive way. That's what I love about exclusivity. You know, whether the person wants to be in a short-term, you know, exclusive relationship, they have that choice. Whether they decide to be in a long-term exclusive relationship, it's still a good aspect, because it's an agreement between two people. And this is how the relationship progresses. Even if it does end, it still could end on good terms, with those people feeling fulfilled and feeling much confident and better about themselves, that to where if they do graduate and they be in another relationship but not with that person, they still a better person at the end of the day. And that person don't have to think about, oh, the last person or previous person I've been with, they hurted me or they did this. No, they could say that person helped me to heal. Okay, that person helped me to do this, or that person helped me to see things differently, rather than it just being a transaction of usury or a transaction of promiscuity or transaction of prostitution, you know, those things. But it's actually having a soul connection with that person and being able to move to the next level in your life with fulfillment, and not feeling like, oh, you hurt the other person, or the other person hurt you previously, and now you're dealing with grudges and regrets and things like that. No, it's a clean slate. It's a good feeling. You have good memories with that person, and you move along in life. That's what relationship, as far as being an exclusivity, a progression. It's not just you just being with that person, because sometimes you may not be with that person for the rest of your life, you know? And then the last pros to exclusivity is it's more of a psychological reward, such as having a sense of belongingness and importance. That's what I love about exclusivity. When you are in a monogamous relationship with someone, they understand the sense, the aspect of privacy, secrecy. They understand that there's a difference between both secrecy and privacy, and however way they choose to display those things are differently. 9 times out of 10, when a person is more private, you know, there's certain things that they like to keep to themselves, just as much as a person, if they're secretive, a person choose to display certain information or certain activities to a person. So there is a difference between the person being private and the person being secretive, okay? So at the end of the day, there's a mutual understanding between the two people, and, you know, they understand that mutual respect is one of the things, self-love, and being able to be respectful and affectionate towards each other in a way where it's not unhealthy, but healthy, okay? So now that I've talked about the pros to exclusivity, I have to talk about the cons to exclusivity, okay? And I'm pretty sure it's not that bad. It's not. Let's not get there or put a negative connotation behind exclusivity, but it's not that bad. It's not. Okay? So the cons to exclusivity is that it's not the same as being someone's girlfriend or boyfriend or partner, as I said before in a previous show. So that means that, okay, because you are dating someone, that does not mean that that person is entitled to, for example, okay, you have a car and you're dating this person. That person is not responsible for paying your gas, okay? Or you're dating someone and you went on a second or third date. That person is not responsible for, ladies, paying your rent, paying a bill. They're not responsible for that. And vice versa for men. You take a woman out on a date, first or second date. That woman is not obligated to have sex with you. That lady is not obligated to, you know, be in a relationship with you or whatever the case might be. If you brought her things and things like that, you did it by choice. You did it by choice. So when you think that you expect something in return, that's not a good aspect, because that person is not your girlfriend. That person is not your boyfriend, and that person is not your partner. And if you want to call them something other than that, such as being a hoe, trick, or whatever, that's not what I'm talking about right now. Okay, I'm talking about exclusivity and just understanding that the expectations and what you produce and provide are different. Okay. And then that's the cons behind exclusivity, is that there's no real expectation or changes needed to be happen. So, for example, meaning, okay, you're dating someone and y'all both have children, you know, or you both have jobs that are very demanding, and you know, it's something that you both love to do. That does not mean, for example, that, you know, you have to compromise. One person have to get to leave their job behind to cater to you or whatever the case might be. That does not mean that. Okay, same thing with when it comes down to two people having children. It doesn't mean that, oh, the person had to reprioritize their life as far as with their children and you and their life. That doesn't mean that that has to happen. So that's what it means as far as not having no real expectation or changes that need to be made. Okay, so even though I'm talking about it as a con, but that is something that you have to accept when you are in this exclusive relationship with someone, and that takes emotional maturity and emotional intelligence. Okay, another con to exclusivity is occasional drawbacks from exclusive partner. So for example, if a person been hurt and they come from a previous relationship where it was damaging to them emotionally, it might take that person time to heal. Like, for example, it took me about 3 years, 3 solid years to get over a relationship that was, I won't say that it was damaging or anything like that, because it wasn't. It just was really hurtful to me in a way that I had to outgrow and overcome. And I know some people say, well, why the hell did it take you 3 years? It took me 3 years. Why? Because as a woman, I needed to restore my mind. I needed to restore my soul. I needed to restore my body. You know, just the fact that, you know, sometimes when you are with someone, it's like for a long period of time, you kind of like biologically connect with each other. So that's why I had to like disconnect from that person, especially, you know, when it comes down to if you're sexually active with that person, you have to disconnect yourself because that's too much closeness. So I had to do that. I had to disconnect myself physically, then disconnect myself soulfully, and then disconnect myself mentally to actually heal myself. A lot of times people don't do that. They hold on to grudges. They hold on to the past. They don't take that time to actually really heal. So when it comes down to my scars, they are beautiful. You know that song by that young lady that sings Scars to Your Beautiful? Yes, it is a scar. It's there. It's, you know, they're not my next partner who I'm with. They see it. They, you know, I'm proud of it. It's just like when a woman, when she has a baby and she has those stretch marks, she could be proud of it. Proud of it. I'm proud of it. Not because I'm hurt and scarred from what happened, but I'm proud of it because I actually went through the stages of healing. So I chose not to be in a relationship with no one. I chose not to be with no one until I was actually healed. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes in the period of you being healed, sometimes some people may come along, and that's where that whole aspect of soulmate coming along. And sometimes they just may be there to help uplift you, to be able to give you that push, that nudge, to say that, okay, listen, you can do it, you can heal, you can do it. So I would say, even in between that short period of time of me healing, whether I disconnected myself from them physically, a soulmate came along, who's someone who was more like a friend to me, you know, and they helped me to become a better and greater person. And yes, that person is no longer a part of my life, but they help push me to get me to the next level. And that's what soulmates do for people, okay? They have that caustic effect, and they have that impact onto you where you become a greater or worse person. Because sometimes you could become a worse person because you experience your karmic mate in life, and they trying to teach you a lesson, but in the worst way. And then you got your soulmates, people who teach you a valuable lesson in which you will never ever forget. You will always remember for the rest of your life. And that's what happened to me. So I would say, yes, you know, I've healed. And sometimes it takes, you know, it takes times for people to heal. So even if you are in a dating phase and someone's saying they are healing, respect that. And especially if the person chooses to date you still, you know, don't rush it, because you don't know what that person went through or what they experienced, you know. So it's like, if you really like that person and you really see that person for who they are, then you would be patient. Okay, you will be patient and watch that person grow and bloom. Okay, which will also be rewarding, as I mentioned before. Now, the drawbacks to that is that sometimes, you know, you may have people that may rebound. They might just be using you for the time until they get back with the same person and have to learn more lessons. Or sometimes a person could just be using you as a holding mate because they need to experience what it's like to have a boyfriend or what it's like to have a girlfriend. And they just using you as a holding mate to where, you know, they don't really want to marry you. They don't really want to settle down for you, but you're good enough to be satisfying to them. It's not a good feeling, but at the end of the day, this is what people are settling for. And it's more or less along the lines of a gray area of friends with benefits or things of that sort. Or you're in a situationship, in which I will explain later on what situation is all about. But a lot of times, you know, those are drawbacks when people are in an exclusive relationship that can happen. And it's not a good feeling, but it happens. And sometimes the people grow apart from that exclusive relationship, but they don't have to move on bad terms. You understand? So yes, another aspect of exclusivity is that sometimes it could be short-lived in time frames, because I did say lifetime, right? Lifetime does not mean forever. Lifetime could be, it could be 3 months you be with that person. It could be 6 months that you be with that person, but it's short-lived, and it's a short period of time in which that person was a part of your life within that time frame, okay? Or then you have some people where you love that person, and you met your soul twin, and you guys are together for a lifetime, okay? And that happens. That happens because both people love each other, not out of codependency, but they really genuinely love each other because they see one another. Okay, so another aspect of the constant exclusivity is that sometimes in those relationships, it's not defined, and it's usually in a gray area, and sometimes it could be a little bit confusing and frustrating for both people when they want to move to the next level. If one person want to move to the next level, but the other person is not ready, or when a person don't keep their word in that type of exclusive relationship, and then the person have to deal with the unreliability of the person, that can be very frustrating and annoying as well too, you know. So another aspect of exclusivity, a con to it, is that exclusivity goes through different stages, and sometimes people may not have that patience, such as, you know, it goes through the phase of dating, then exclusively dating, and then that could be a situationship at times too. And then it goes into a committed relationship. So like I said, if you're not a traditional person, then this wouldn't really apply to you. And it's not something that you would take of value to your heart. Okay, so I talked about the cons, the pros and the cons of exclusivity, just as much as I talked about the pros and the cons of settling down. Okay, so now I'm going to share my experience. But before I do, let's take a break. Okay, so now I am back. I was so passionate about that, this topic. Oh my God. So if it was high peaks in which I was just like kind of like going off, it's just that this topic is so passionate to me, you know? And whew, yes. So I did talk about that. I would talk about what situation is about, right? So before I even talk about my transition into an exclusive connection, I wanted to talk about situationship. Okay, so situationship, it refers to a romantic relationship that is and remains undefined. And that's what mostly happens in exclusive relationship. So a situation is that space between a committed relationship and something that is more than a friendship. So this is what Jonathan Alpert had stated, as far as giving description behind what situation is all about in between those two, you know, aspects of committed relationship and friendship, that you're just in that gray area, okay? Which sometimes, as I mentioned, that it could be a con. But now I want to talk about my story. Hey. All right. So, 3 years prior, I've went on a healing journey, as I said before, and it was a inspiration. Yes, it was. And it was very empowering for me. And, you know, I still gave, you know, the dating aspect a chance and things like that, you know, when I felt that I was strong and ready to, because I come to the conclusion that just because one person hurting me doesn't mean that the next person that I meet is going to hurt me. And that's something that I've learned to let go of, that belief of just having this connotation of, oh, I need to be aware, be cautious of the next person, because that's not fair to the next person that you meet. Okay. And then it's almost kind of like torturous, because you allowing that other person who hurt you to have space or rent space in your mind to where it's preventing you from being happy with someone and growing with them. So I chose to get rid of that belief of that, oh, okay, the next person is going to hurt me. Oh, the next person I can't trust. You know, I've learned to get away from that. And I learned to have a security within myself that I trust myself enough to know that I am going to do better for myself, and I'm going to be able to take accountability for every and anything that I do. And I also said to myself upon that healing journey, I said to myself that whatever I'd done in that previous relationship with and for that person, it was out of love. And whatever I've lost, it was out of love. And I just said to myself that, okay, this, I'm not going to hold no grudges. I'm not going to hold any of that. I'm going to do what is best for me. And sometimes doing what was best for me was walking away and not being in connection with that person. You know, not because I'm hurt or I'm holding a grudge against them. No, it's not that, because I will always love that person, you know, for the things that they did and for the things that they didn't do. But I've learned from, so I will always love them, yes. But they're not going to stop me from being able to be happy and being able to find that fulfillment in the next relationship. And I feel that when you are with someone, they supposed to love you enough to let you go. They supposed to love you enough to send, you know, positive vibes and vibration your way. You know, some people call it blessings or whatever the case might be. However, I chose to send positive vibrations and, you know, love his way, even though I'm not, you know, communicating with them, not in effect or whatever. And yes, I would say that, you know, because that person have grown to a level, they grown to have a family, they grown, you know, to do so many things. Yes, it hurt. It hurt to be with someone who you love so much, and you love them so much to the point that you want them to be courageous. You want them to be able to let them know that you are crazy enough to make a change and an impact. Like, you love a person as though that they're your child. Not just to put a negative connotation behind it, because you loving someone like your child. I've been talking about the baby and the woman giving birth, from just giving emphasis on just the bond and the connection. So what I'm saying is that when it comes down to that love that I had for them, it was like having a child. That love that you would have for a child that's enduring, that's resilient, you know. And I really did love that person, even in their transitional phases of what they went through and things of that sort. But I felt that I had to cut that cord. Had to, you know, for my well-being, for my mental health, for my, you know, overall well-being as a woman, as a young lady, understanding me. It had nothing to do with that person, and I didn't want to make it about them. Not that I was being selfish, but because I really wanted to heal. I really wanted to heal from what I felt hurt from, whether it's betrayal or felt that, oh, I wasn't good enough because this person chose to have a family with someone else and other than me. You know, going through that phase, I chose to say no to that woe it's me, this person chose this person over me. No, I chose not to do that, with the emphasis on behind that This person always wanted this, but it was not something that I was in total agreement as far as them wanting to have a family and wanting to have a big family. That was something that was very important to them, and that may not, they may have been something that I may not have completely, understood. And I'm not saying that it's my fault that they chose whatever they chose and it's my fault that I'm hurt. No, it's just the impact behind it and, you know, feeling that, you know, there could have been something more, whatever the case might be. Sometimes things are short-lived and people just in your life for a short period of time. But in spite of that, I don't feel like this person hurt me to be malicious. I don't feel that. And I don't feel like that person did it to be spiteful or any kind of way. I feel like this person had a goal, they had a dream, and they obtained that, and I'm happy for them. So I had to learn how to be happy for myself in spite of whatever hurt or pain that was felt behind leaving that person behind, although I love them very, very dearly. Okay, so what I would say is that yes, I've healed mind, body, and soul. And sometimes, occasionally, it hurts. Because sometimes, the Most High have this weird way of... When the Most High wants to teach you a lesson, or I would say the universe wants to teach you a lesson, sometimes they may bring different people. But different people, but same situation in your life, or sometimes same situation, but different people in your life, because the Most High or the universe wants you to learn a lesson, okay? To really learn a lesson. And I will say that in my journey, that the person who I was with and that I really loved and cared about, they were about polygamy, and they told this to me from the very beginning, but I didn't understand polygamy. I didn't know what polygamy was about, and I said, you know what? I don't like that. I don't want that. I wasn't for it, but by being with this person in particular, it helped me to see polygamy in a different aspect, and for that, I will always be open-minded to the fact of polygamy, you know, just as much as I will appreciate monogamy as well, but I will also be open to polygamy. Why? Because that person taught me that polygamy is not all about sexuality or sex, but it can be also about businessship, how you relate to a person, and how sometimes multiple women could be able to strengthen one man. One man, strengthen him in aspect, especially when it comes down to the Black culture, okay, and our Black men in particular. So that's another topic in itself. I'm not going to touch on it, but me personally, this person taught me and gave me a different outlook on polygamy and, you know, the idea of one man having multiple wives. And I don't put a negative connotation on men having multiple babies with different and various women. No, he helped me to understand that yes, a man will be able to take care of his wives and treat them all equally, you know. And to me, I said, you know, I am for it. If that man can be able to realistically say to himself, okay, I may not be able to have 10 wives, but I can manage 3, then that man is being realistic, meaning he take care of those 3 wives equally. He take care of those children that he bear, and he invests in each and every last one of them equally. And it's not no form of favoritism. So this man has taught me that, and this is why I will forever be open to that, even in spite of what people might say about my situation and about him having, you know, children with someone else and this, that, the third. That man is living out his dream and his goals in spite of, you know, and I say kudos to him, you know. But for I will forever be changed on that aspect. And I say all of this to say that the universe or the Most High will send someone into your life, in which he did. He sent a Muslim man, even though my previous partner was not Muslim, but he was about his own thing. And yes, he was about polygamy, but it was in a whole different aspect and avenue. But there was a Muslim man that approached me, and I was open to the fact of, you know, wanting to learn about the Muslim culture, and open to the fact, okay, if he had multiple wives and things of that sort, but it was short-lived because that person was not healthy for me. That person was not healthy. And I said to myself that, oh no, I'm not doing it. Not to say that I'm still not open to it, but the fact that that person was not right for me, because that person was still a human being. And I don't like to put that negative connotation of human being, but I say that in the aspect of being a natural being, meaning he still had things that he needed to learn and grow from, that he had toxic traits that he needed to outgrow and things of that sort. And I couldn't deal with that because my peace was more important than anything that he was going through, or whatever the case might be, or his intentions, or whatever the case might be. And I had to part ways from that person. Just like that. And this is what dating is all about, when you get to know a person, right? And then, which I will hit on, as far as sometimes when they say that when you're looking for love, it's unexpectedly, and sometimes the person who you least expect is the one who you end up with, or the one who end up being that life partner for you, and they be right before your eyes and you don't even notice it. But I would say that I've known this person, you know, not exclusively, but I've known this person as far as being acquainted with them for almost a period of 6 years. And I would say that we dated each other for almost a year, and we both have children. We both have children. This person has a girl. I have a girl. But there's an age difference between the two. Okay? And I will say that as far as our level of intimacy, from my perspective, I would say that it's been a 12-month period as far as us being intimate, emotionally, and then being able to connect with one another. It's been a period of 12 months. And this is a person who I least expected to ever form a connection with, or ever form any form of intimacy with, because I looked at this person as a friend, yes, and I looked at this person as someone of a kin, like, oh, this person is like, oh, that's my big brother, or this, that, the third. You know how us women like to do that a lot of times? Oh yeah, that's my friend. We friend zone the guy, but that friend zone guy who we always friend zone end up being with us, you know, especially when we be like, oh no, he's cool. Oh no, he's like a big brother to me, and it's that the third. Yeah, but ending up being your life partner. So yes, I look at this person as so, and I never thought about, never, ever, 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 ever thought about being intimate with this person. Never. Until the opportunity presented itself. So as time go along, besides the intimacy, I wanted to know if there was a connection, and especially a divine connection, because I feel that spirituality is so cliche, but I wanted to know if there was a divine connection. And although I haven't really, you know, elaborated more on the connection part, but I would say that there is a connection that is there, without a doubt. And that's something that's important to me, because I always said that the next person who I be with, they have to be special. Something have to be special about them, you know, special. And yeah, I did say a little spiritual, whatever, but they have to have something that's unexplainable, or, you know, it's almost like having a gift, you know, a spiritual gift or whatever. And I said they have to be that special in order for me to actually be with them, because I'm not going to just be with no ordinary man or ordinary guy. Why? Because I'm not ordinary. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm extraordinary. And I wanted to be with someone who's extraordinary. Okay? Someone who's not just, you know, just plain Jane or whatever the case might be, just plain and don't know. Someone who is earthbound as far as, you know, being down to earth with their emotions, being real, genuine, sincere, and loyal. You know, those things were important to me as far as being earthly good. And then having that spiritual aspect, that divine aspect about them. I said, that's the only way I'm going to be with someone and give them a chance, because I'm not going to allow just anybody to mess with my peace or just come into my life and my child life and cause wreckage. No, it's not happening. Not happening. Okay. So this is something that I said to myself. So now when it comes down to relationship goals, I said that we both want to be an exclusive relationship without labeling, but we take action. So it's like, it's almost as if when I describe transitioning into an exclusive relationship with this person, we both are in a monogamous relationship with each other. Yes. But at the same time, there's no labels, meaning that we're not saying that, oh, this is my man, or this is my woman, or this is my girlfriend, or this is my boyfriend. It's more or less we allowing our actions to speak for itself rather than we just putting a label on it. Okay, and it's definitely not just that phase of friends with benefits. It's not, because this person don't do anything for me as far as financially, because I financially provide for myself, and I'm not looking for no benefit from that person, and that person is not looking for no benefit with me. It's more of a mutual agreement that we have, which is good to start off with someone when you are transitioning into an exclusive relationship. Okay, and then when I said to myself, okay, are there signs of transitioning? I said, yes. Yes, I had to come to that aspect of, okay, is this relationship with me and this person transitioning? And I said, yes, because me and this person, we both, not only have we been hurt, but I met this person in the stage where they were in the healing phase, and they felt stuck. And I helped that person to get out of that stuck phase, and they chose to heal. They chose to have self-love, self-respect, self-awareness, and they learned that along the way. And it took about a year. Oh my gosh, a year. And I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I could understand that this person was so hurt that they talked about it so much that they wanted to heal while they were talking about it, but they never had got that closure or that healing, because no one really understood them until I came along to help them to bridge that gap. And now that this person is taking steps, they taking baby steps, but I say all this to say that I met this person at a different phase in my healing journey. I was already approaching the third year of mentally detaching myself from this person while this person was trying to disconnect themselves from this person soulfully and mentally and was struggling. So even though I understood this, I was patient with them. And I see the transition, the more they would like to do. They set their intentions a year prior of what they wanted. What they wanted, whether it was playfully or whether they had good or good intentions behind it, whether they wanted to take action or not. But they said what their intentions was and what they wanted a year prior. And now they allowing their actions to speak for themselves. But whatever phase that this person who I am in a transition phase with, whatever healing stage that they are at, I see them progressing. Okay, they are progressing and they are healing, because I can tell through our conversations, our activities together, and how open and honest we are with each other, which is good. It's therapeutic. Okay, and then when it comes down to our sexual orientation, we both choose to be monogamous. We both choose to be monogamous. There's no reason to be with other people sexually or sneaking around and, you know, doing all of this stuff. No, I chose to be with this person in a monogamous relationship with this person, and this person chose to be in a monogamous relationship with me. Okay? So this is what monogamy is all about, right? So I would say the attraction factor from a level 1 to 10 is a 10. This young man is very attractive. And this young man might find me very attractive or whatever the case might be, but we're not letting that be the the whole base of a connection together with each other, if that makes sense. Okay. And then when it comes down to the personality aspect, I feel that the person who I am with, he's very introverted. He's very introverted. He likes to stay to himself. And I've noticed that he could be passive aggressive at times. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but because more or less he's like a lone wolf. He likes to be by himself. He doesn't really like to be around other people in particular. And because he's introverted, you know, he accepts and he appreciates privacy, in which I do give his space and things of that sort. But when it comes down to him, he's a beautiful person. He's a beautiful person inside out when he's not in his world, his own little world. You know, sometimes every now and then he comes out of his world because I know that he's still in that cocoon phase of healing, you know, and I just can't wait till he spread his wings and be able to fly like a butterfly all around. But I know that he's still in his cocoon phase, you know, just like how I was in my cocoon phase. And now I'm just flying around free like a butterfly. That does not mean I'm running around free dating multiple people. No, running around free as in this world is beautiful, you know, this, that, the third. You know how butterflies go from one city or state to another, like, you know, that liberating freedom, you know, that a butterfly has. So I know that he has to get through that cocoon phase. Okay, and I do know for the most part, both of our favorite color is black. We love the color black. We both like the color black. And it's other common things that we have an interest that's weird and eccentric that we have, but at the same time, that's what makes us, right? But at the end of the day, black is our favorite color. We love it. You know, so I talked about how I'm transitioning into an exclusive connection with someone, and I really like it because there's no pressure, there's no expectation, and we both have that respect for one another to understand that, okay, when it comes down to sharing our body, that no, we don't share our body with multiple people. No, we take exclusivity very serious, and cheating is not something that we will want to do or like to do. That is, at least I can speak for myself, that's not something I would want to do. Okay, so I talked about the time I've known this person for 6 years, but overlooked them a whole lot, dated them for 1 year, and the fact that we do have children, because I did say I wanted to date someone with children because I felt like someone who didn't have children didn't know how to relate to me as much. So this person have children, and yes, there is an age difference. Okay, and as far as our intimacy, I've been tracking how intimate we were, intimate connections and, you know, things that we have. And it was for a 12-month period. When I evaluate having a divine connection with this person, I said yes all the way. I do feel a connection to them on a divine level. And, you know, it hasn't been highlighted mainly, but I know that this person is gifted. You know, and then when it comes down to relationship goals, we do want marriage. We do want to be with someone in the future. And I feel like we are open to that, which is good. Okay. And then signs of transitioning. Yes, because it showed through our conversations, our activities together, being open and honest and, you know, calling each other cute little couple names and things like that. And then as far as the sexual orientation, I did say that it's a monogamous relationship. And as far as our attraction level to each other, it is a level 10 all the way. And as far as his personality type, I've known him to be very introverted, and at times he can be passive aggressive in nature. You know, and that's because, like I said, he's a lone wolf. He likes to be by himself. And then I talked about our favorite color is black. Okay, so I know to some people that's meaningless or whatever, but whatever, what have you. But at the end of the day, I'm just sharing that part of the transitioning phase. Okay, and with that being said, I wanted to also talk about, what does the feeling of exclusivity mean to me in a nutshell? So exclusivity means to me is taking a genuine interest in someone without feeling the need to juggle or entertain multiple relationships. And another thing about exclusivity and what it means to me is that courting someone during a phase of trying to determine the connection and or compatibility is very important, and which I did do. And I would say lastly is allowing one person to have a bond with someone who's significant in their life, you know? So yeah, so those are things that are what exclusivity means to me and how I view exclusivity and how I appreciate it in itself. Okay, so another thing that I wanted to mention before I end the show, because this was pretty long, okay, considering I haven't been on here in a while, but this is a very, you know, elaborative show, and I'm pretty sure the listener is enjoying it. I'm confident that you guys are enjoying this show. But debunking harmful myths like these can help us become more comfortable and accepting of singlehood in ourselves and others, whether it is a temporary state or life choice. Being single is an opportunity to build strong friendships, devote yourself to activities and causes that you're passionate about, and develop a sense of self-worth and identity that is not attached to a romantic partner's love and approval. These experiences will serve you well if and when you find yourself in a relationship. So if you feel satisfied in your life independent of your partner, you may be less likely to have the unrealistic expectation that your partner can and should meet all your needs. An expectation that is historian and marriage expert Stephanie Constantis argues can erode a relationship over time. So this comes from Stephanie, according to Stephanie Constantis' perspective on singlehood and being able to go through those various phases. Okay, so with that being said, I thank you for taking the time out for listening to the Memoirs of Her show. And yes, we are going through a transitional phase, and I hope that you guys enjoy. Bye-bye.